Inside Out, immediately after the service, Michelle told me that I had made a terrible mistake. I had not talked about her emotional response after we saw the movie the first time. And I have to tell you, if we could go back in my mind to 2 years ago when we saw the film, these are some of the things that I was thinking about. I was thinking, my goodness, Michelle is crying. What's going on with her emotionally? And I immediately knew exactly what was going on with my daughter and my son in their emotional life. Because I thought, my goodness, this explains why Catherine Young spoke to me like that. It explains why Daniel reacted to me the other day. And I thought, my goodness, a light has been turned on in my head. I'm totally making that up. You realize that, right? It just explained some things. It made things, me look at them differently. And I thought it helped me. And I thought, my goodness, wonder what happened emotionally with these people in these wonderful stories in our Bible. And I thought, let's contrast those and think about those in that way. I'm going to show you just a preview to this film. How many of you have seen the film? There's a few of you, but see, there's many of you that have not. And this will actually be good for all of us. It'll remind the ones who have seen it, and it will inform those of you who have not. What I want you to pay close attention to is the control panel and how the different emotions control the reaction that a person has. Let's watch that.
So, how was the first day of school?
It was fine, I guess. I don't know.
Do you ever look at someone and wonder what is going on inside their head?
Did you guys pick up on that?
Sure did. Something's wrong.
We're going to find out what's happening, but we'll need support. Signal the husband.
Harry, all the way!
Uh-oh, she's looking at us. What did she say?
What? Oh, sorry, sir. No one was listening.
Is it garbage night? We left the toilet seat up. What? What is it, woman? What?
Signal him again.
Ah, so, Riley, how was school?
Please. You gotta be kidding me.
For this, we gave up that Brazilian helicopter pilot?
School was great, all right?
What was that? I thought you said we were gonna act casual.
Riley, is everything okay?
Sir, she just rolled her eyes at us.
All right, make a show of force. I don't want to have to put the foot down.
No, not the foot.
Riley, I do not like this new attitude.
Oh, I'll show you attitude, old
no,
man.
No, breathe.
What is your problem? Just leave me alone.
Sir, reporting high levels of sass.
Take it to DEFCON 2.
DEFCON 2.
I don't know where this disrespectful attitude came from.
You want a piece of this, Pops?
Yeah, well, look.
Prepare the foot.
Keys to safety position. Ready to launch on your command, sir.
Just shut up!
Fire! That's it. Go to your room.
The foot is down. The foot is down. Yeah!
Good job, gentlemen. That could have been a disaster.
Well, that was a disaster.
Come, fly with me, Gachinha.
I think the whole dynamic between the world outside Riley's head, the girl in the film, and the competition of her emotions going on inside of her is, it's funny and it's right on. It's kind of hilarious. The main premise of the movie, I think, is spot on, that we should all be aware of our emotions and how they control us and how they inform us and how they get us to react to the world around us. Now, in the movie, one of the things, this is not really a spoiler, but it'd help you, actually, I think, if I say this, if you're going to see the film. Joy, at the beginning of the movie, is like the quarterback in charge. The Joy has it in mind that everything that happens to Riley should make her happy. And so whenever sadness jumps up to say something, Joy just tries to overwhelm sadness with this sweetness and stuff. But as things go along, all the emotions realize that they need each other. That you can't always be happy. That you can't experience only anger. You can't experience only disgust. That you have to have, through this different series of events, all of them working together if you're going to be emotionally, spiritually healthy. That's what it is. You have to have them all. So anyway, using this film, as I said, I want to think about these different things that happen in the stories in the Bible. You know, in this story we just read, the disciples were pretty emotional in the story. I mean, I'm thinking the disciples would have been emotional. And, you know, the Bible makes them out to be a pretty hopeless bunch. You know, they just don't quite get it. You know what I mean? Think about what this scripture comes from. You may not have realized it yet. This is from the Last Supper. The disciples didn't know it was the last time that they were going to eat with Jesus. He didn't announce that. So they're meeting with him, and think about what he is saying to them, and think about the dashboard, the control panel in each disciple as you're thinking about it. What would be going on if you were there even? Think about your own. So their followers are being told that you're going to abandon them. I'm going to go away. I'm leaving. I mean, that's what Jesus told them. I'm returning to my Father. What does he mean by that? I mean, what does that mean? He's told them, not in the one we read today, but in the same verses, in the same chapter, he told them, one of you is going to betray me. And he's saying, Peter is going to deny him. Now, what kind of emotions are they going to be going through as they are hearing all these things? I'm going to leave. I'm going to be gone. And then he says, you're going to be sad. What would your emotional response be to those kinds of things in a group that you belong to? And then, to confuse things even more, just as the meal is coming to an end, he says, in a little while you will no longer see me, and then later on you will see me again. I mean, they would have been confused, dazed and confused. What is this all about? What in the world is Jesus saying? And then Jesus takes time to explain. He says to them, you know, you are going to be really sad. Sorrow, he says. And that sorrow, he says, is going to turn into joy when you finish this experience. And he's not talking about, you're going to, you know, I'm going away, and later on in your life, things will finally get better, you know, after you realize you can go on with your life when I'm gone. It's not that kind of bereavement talk. It's talk that is different. It's the same talk that you hear. In fact, the Greek words are all the same when he's talking about the sorrow that they are going to experience. He uses the very same Greek words when he's talking about Lazarus being dead. Mary Magdalene in chapter 20, the same words as Mary is mourning at the tomb. Jesus, all those words are the same. So Jesus is not telling them they're just going to get sad and then eventually they'll get happy. He's telling them they are going to mourn his loss, and then they are going to be so happy nothing can change it. They are confused. What is this sadness and grief that is helping increase their joy? What is it that's going on? They've got to be wondering that little, you know, what is going on inside your head when things happen to you in the world? Is your joy increased after you experience sadness and sorrow? And I really do think it is. The joy that new life in Christ brings completely blows away the sadness that I have been feeling. It completely overwhelms and replaces it. You can go from pain to joy in an instant. We have an example of that with Mary Magdalene at the tomb. She is crying. She is mourning. She realizes that the resurrected Jesus is standing there talking to her, and she is immediately joyful. Inside out, it oversimplifies, you know, emotions, but it is a view into a world. One of the problems, well, it's not necessarily a problem, but we have identified like 9 different emotions in people, and the film only has 5. But it is spot on in thinking about what happens inside of our heads when things happen to us in the world. And when we think about it as a Christian, and we take Jesus' instructions to the disciples in this text, I think it becomes clear to me that it is really vital for me to experience all of my emotions as a disciple of Jesus Christ. It is important that I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my being, instructions directly from Jesus. And I think those are talking about all the emotions that we feel. The problem is, and I like this, our desires and the emotions expressed by them are worship to God. All of those things that happen to us are worship to God. They all form the emotionally, spiritually healthy person that you are. The problem is, though, is we fall short. We sin and we fall short, and instead of finding hope in the different things that happen to us and eventually leading that to joy, we get stuck. We get stuck in anger. We get stuck in depression. How do those things work together, though, to give us joy? That's what we want to talk about on these succeeding Sundays as we are trying to get what is inside, outside, so we can look at it, think about it, and understand how it forms us. We're in the season of Easter. And that resurrection, that light of the resurrection, that's what Jesus was instructing the disciples that they were going to experience emotionally. And I think that is for all of us too. Hope that leads to joy for all of us in the resurrected Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. We have